Well, good morning, Withville Baptist Church. Glad to have you join us this morning as we worship the Lord together. As our call to worship this morning, let me read to you Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's have a word of prayer, and at the end of the word of prayer, we will join together in the Lord's Prayer. Let's go now to the Lord. Gracious Lord, all God, thank you so much for being a God who is so caring, so deeply loving, and so concerned about us. What a wonder it is that we have a God that not only creates, but also a God who sustains, who helps, who encourages, and who walks with us. What a wonderful and blessed thing that is. So Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for his willingness to set aside all of his rights and privileges to come into our midst and to walk amongst us, so that we might understand you better, and that we might be able to see that as he was walking here through his life, the miracles, his teachings, that we might be able to see that we too, if we rely upon the Holy Spirit who lives within us, can walk in your ways. So Lord, we thank you for Jesus' willingness to die for our sins, that we might know forgiveness, and that we might have atonement and be at one with you. Lord, thank you for that. We do come before you now, and we repent of the ways that we have walked against your ways, by the ways that we have sinned, whether we have sinned knowingly or unknowingly. We come to you, and we pray that you would touch those places in our heart and help us to experience in all of its fullness your forgiveness, your grace, your peace, and your comfort. What a wonderful thing it is that when we come to you and confess our sins, that you have promised to cleanse us, so that you now see us as your daughters and sons, as the inheritors of your kingdom. Lord, thank you. Thank you for those who have gone on before us, who have prepared the way for us that we might walk as your people, and that we might be able to gather together in a way, even in the midst of a pandemic, to worship with one another. What a blessing that is. Lord, we pray that you would continue to eradicate this pandemic. A lot of people are being affected by it in many different ways. Some are having to deal with it physically. Some are having to deal with it financially. Maybe they've lost their job, and we ask, Lord, that you would be there for them. We pray for those that are on the front lines trying to determine how to have a vaccine, how to cure folks, how to heal folks. And Lord, we pray that your wisdom and insight would come to those folks, and that you would keep them safe as they're working to help so many other folks. And Lord, we pray for those who are economically affected by this pandemic and would ask that you would supply for their needs, and that you would give them an ability to turn and look toward you in all things. We also ask, Lord, that you would be in the midst of our community as we deal with so many different things. We think about our country with political unrest, with racial unrest, with just civil unrest because of so many different things going on. We pray, Lord, that you would give people your wisdom and insight to know what to do and to know how to do the right thing in the midst. We pray that you would help people to sit down and talk about the issues so that there might be able to find a resolution, a compromise, a way forward, so that we might, as a nation, heal once again, and that we might stand strong as a nation in your ways. So, Lord, we pray for your wisdom, for our political leaders, for all the other folks who are trying to navigate everything that's going on here. We ask, Lord, that you would give us your wisdom, that we might know how to bring to the people in the midst of our community your love and your peace and your comfort. Because, Lord, that's what you've given the church to share with this world. The world is looking for so many other things in so many other directions. Help us that we might truly share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who need to hear it, so that they can come and be transformed by your love, by your grace, and by your mercy. Guide us now as we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples as an example prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is a blessing to be able to go to God in prayer and to serve God. I hope that even in the midst of all that's going on, you're finding a way to do that and to learn from God how to continue to grow on the spiritual journey. Today I want to share with you from the book of Ephesians in the first chapter, starting in verse 15, and I'm going to read down through verse 25. This is a thanksgiving and a prayer that Paul has for the church at Ephesus. So listen to these words. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul knows this church, and Paul has spent time with the folks. Presently, as he writes this letter, he's not there with them. But he wants them to know how much thanks he has for them, How thankful that he is of their great faith and their love for all Christian folks. You see, they accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. They came to know the people in Ephesus. They came to know that Jesus Christ was their Lord and their Savior. And they knew that by repentance and by turning to God, that they could receive salvation and eternal life. And they have faithfully followed this path. They followed it in such a way that their faith is known not only to Paul as he is not there, but it is known to other people also. And it's known to other people because they have shared God's love with other folks. And Paul tells them that I have not stopped giving thanks for you. And I have been remembering you in my prayers. What an encouragement that would be to receive a letter from Paul that says, I continue to pray for you. I continue to pray for you about your love for all God's people and for the ways that you continue to grow in your faith. But Paul goes on in this prayer and says a little bit more. He prays for them to have increased wisdom, to have a revelation of God further than they have had already, and an enlightenment in all of God's ways. He's asking that God might bring them wisdom, and that God might touch their hearts in a deep and a powerful way, so that they might see the spiritual path ahead of them in a greater way. He wants them to have this increased wisdom. He wants them to have a revelation of God for who God is, how God wants to walk with them, and how God is leading and guiding them. He asks for their minds, their hearts, to be very enlightened and to be opened up, and to come to know God and what God's purpose is for them. You see, he has three things that he really prays for them for, deeply and richly. He wants them to know the assurance God calls them to have. He wants them to know the hope and the assurance that God has for them. He wants them to experience that in such a full way that they would continue to grow in their faith. You see, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you. This hope is not a wishing that something would happen, but it is a hope that says, I know, I'm assured of this, and this is going to happen. God has called them in a certain direction. God has called them to be a people that reach out to not only their town, not only their state, not only their nation, but the whole world. And God says, Paul says, I hope that you will understand this hope that God has given you in a fantastic way. He also says that he wants them to understand the inheritance that they will receive. You see, once you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's eternal life, it's salvation. You can live in the midst of the eternal kingdom even now. But we have an inheritance as God's daughters and sons to live in the midst of this world, even now, knowing that we are part of the heavenly kingdom, that that's where our citizenship is, that that's where we're enriched. Paul wants them to know that inheritance. And when I think about the inheritance that God has for us, I always think about the grace and the mercy and the love and the peace and the comfort and the guidance. And I could continue to add on and on to that. understanding and wisdom and insight. Paul wants them to know that inheritance. He wants them to know the resources that they have that are available for them, that they might be able to truly, fully walk in God's ways. But he caps it off with something that has really captured my attention this week. He caps his prayer off by saying that he wants them to know God's incomparably great power. Now, as I think about that, I think about not only is God the God who created all of the universe, that God creates the earth that we live upon. God creates all that we see here upon the earth. God has created all of the people in God's own image, so that no matter where we go, we can see the incomparably great power of God and all that God has done. What an incredibly wonderful thing that is, to see this power right there in our presence at all times. When we meet other people, when we see creation, when we look to the stars, we can see that power that God has. But Paul wants them to know that this power, that he wants them to know in a richer way, that this power, he says in verse 19, and know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You see, Christ did leave heaven and left behind his rights and privileges, walked here upon the earth, and died for us to be our atoning sacrifice, so that we might have a relationship with a living and a loving God. And that so that by day, we could have an encounter of God, an experience of God, as we come to know God even further and even deeper and even richer. How wonderful that is. But Christ did not just die for us. He was placed in the tomb, and he was resurrected. He came back to life. And Paul says it's that power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. It's that same incomparably great power that God has to use in our lives. And Paul says he wants the Ephesians to know that power. Above and beyond and over everything, he wants them to realize that that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that works within us. And as I have sat and thought about that this week, what an incredible thing. Jesus did not stay in the tomb. Jesus has victory over death, because God has raised him through an incomparably great power. And that same power is the power that Paul is praying the Ephesian people will come to know. So as I've thought about this, and I've wondered about this, and I've tried to grab a hold of this in such a way that I could experience an even deeper, I've thought about this. With this power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, with this prayer that Paul prayed for the people that I know God will answer, and with the incredible great understanding that Paul is asking God to give the Ephesians as they apply themselves to the spiritual journey, the people at Ephesus can only grow spiritually. Think about that. The power of God, the prayer that Paul prays for them, and as they gain understanding, these people can only grow spiritually. Not only because they've applied themselves, but also because Paul has prayed for them in a prayer that I know God will answer. And it's the power of God, that same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, that God is going to use to re-enliven us, to rebirth us, to help us to regain a deep understanding and wisdom and insight into all that God's trying to do in us and through us. What a wonderful thing that is. Can you imagine what it would be like to be the church at Ephesus as they receive this letter from Paul, and Paul says, not only I give thanks for you, I give thanks for your faithfulness, for your love. I give thanks for the way that you love God's people and reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I give thanks for who you are. And then Paul says, I pray that you will have wisdom. I pray that you will have understanding. I pray that you will have an enlightenment in your heart, a transformation. And that all of this will be done through the incredible power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. So what I want to do for you as we finish this time of worship and as we finish this time of me sharing about what Paul did for the church at Ephesus, I want to pray this same prayer for you. I want to use Paul's outline here of this prayer, and I want to pray this prayer for you. First off, in thanking God for who you are. And you're joining in the work of the gospel and your incredible love and outreach to folks. But I also want to pray that God will enlighten you with wisdom and insight and courage and boldness in such a way that you will know the same power that God resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And that you will know that power within your heart and know that you can walk the spiritual journey. So let's take a moment in prayer as I pray this prayer for you. Almighty and gracious Father, I come before you right now with great and incredible thanks for the people who listen to this message. I pray especially for those at Withville Baptist Church and for anyone else who has an opportunity to hear this message. I pray first with thanks for them, for thanks how they continue to be faithful in the spiritual journey, for thanks about how they continue to grow in their faith and in their grace and their understanding of you. I also give you thanks for their great love for one another, especially with Withville Baptist Church, as they have a great love for one another and continue to lift each other up in prayer. I want to thank you for them. What a blessing it is to serve as their pastor. What a blessing it is to lead and guide them and walk with them on the spiritual journey. Thank you so much for each and every one of them. But Lord, I also come to you and I want to pray that you would give them a deeper understanding of the spiritual journey in front of them, upon the path and the way that you are guiding and leading them. I pray that they would come to know the incredible wisdom that you have for them, the insight and the understanding. I pray that you would make an enlightenment of their heart in such a way that they would not miss it, but that they would see the very work that you're doing in their life as an individual, but also as a community of faith, as we bond together to be your representatives, first off in Withville, Virginia. Lord, I pray that you would guide them to come to understand you in better ways, to see the very calling that you have for them, to understand all that you're asking them to participate in as you work in us, among us, and around us. And most of all, I pray, Lord, that they would come to understand the incomparable great power by which you do all this. That power that you reach down in the midst and among us in such a way to mold us and form us and guide us and direct us. I pray, Lord, that that incomparably rich power would be known in a powerful way in each person who hears this message. I pray that you would guide them ever closer to you, and that they would understand that that same power that's working in them right now, at this moment, is the same power that you used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power that brings victory over death is at work in the midst of each person in Withville Baptist Church and all of those who hear this message. So, Lord, I pray that they would continue to be enlightened by this power, that they would continue to understand their calling, not just to be disciples, but also their calling to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love that you have placed within us that these people know so well. And that that love would reach out in a powerful way so that we could see many more not only come to the foot of the cross, not only come to know Jesus Christ as one who taught, who did miracles, who showed us how to walk the spiritual life, but that would know with a great hope, with a great assurance, that this God has victory over death, and that that power works within us for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, thank you for listening to this prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer already by working in the hearts and in the midst of all these people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to think about this for this week. How will you live differently now that this same prayer that Paul used to pray for the church at Ephesus has been prayed for you? I've always thought about, as I've read that prayer in the scriptures, that Paul is praying also for me. And that's why I thought this morning it would be important for me to pray that prayer for you. Now you know it has been prayed for you, and that you can come to know God in a deeper and a richer way. That you can come to experience God in a powerful way because of that incomparably great power that God has, that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power is at work within your heart at this moment. So having heard this prayer said for you, how will you live differently this week? May God's blessing go with you this week. May God lift you up and encourage you. And may God show an incredible amount of love, that you would trust God even deeper, that you would walk even more faithfully, and that you would be transformed to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. May you be blessed this week.